Welcome to the meeting today. This is the third in the series of the life of Joseph. Readings are taken from Genesis 39:6-23 and Genesis 41-23. This is followed by Jan's message titled, Where is God when it all goes wrong?
Today's reading is taken from Genesis chapter 39:6-23. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing, except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built man, and Potiphar's wife began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me." She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. "That Hebrew slave you've brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that had happened in prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. May God bless the reading of his word.
When everything goes wrong.
And so we continue Joseph's journey in prison. Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches, that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. This is what the dream means, Joseph said. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as the chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favour when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, I had a dream too. In my dream, there were 3 baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head. This is what the dream means, Joseph told him. The 3 baskets also represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Oh no.
Just stand and join me for a prayer. Father, we do again thank you because you are our faithful God. And when you have another plan, help us to say yes. When things go wrong, turn our thoughts to you. I pray in your name. Amen. Where is God when it goes wrong? Where is God when it goes wrong? You're a parent and your child desperately wants to be in the netball team. You go out and buy the outfit, take it to practice every week, but there are too many players for the team and your child cries all the way home. You've dreamed for years about the person you'll marry, about the thrill of falling in love and the beauty of the wedding day, the peace of being held by someone who loves you above all others. But the door closes and you are brokenhearted. Or middle age creeps up and you think about what you want to accomplish and you decide to stay with the company that you've been with for a long time, but you don't get the promotion you wanted. You come crashing down. Or for someone else, their career was very satisfying and fulfilling, but now the doctor says you have cancer. It's heartbreaking. In these situations, you feel it's like a door being slammed in your face. You're locked out, you're excluded, you're unwelcome, your dreams are left in ashes. A closed door can feel so permanent, so conclusive, and so final. Joseph knew what it was like to face difficult and heartbreaking experiences. He had the door slammed in his face three times of injustice in Joseph's life. We're just going to look briefly at these this morning. First of all, he was obedient, but he was hated. Joseph walked so closely with the Lord. The scripture tells us that many times. So closely he walked with the Lord that God revealed to him a part of the future he had planned for him. And we know that Joseph's father honoured him by granting him the family birthrights, though he was not the firstborn son, which made him the manager of the household under his father and exempted him from daily work. Well, I don't think there'd be too many siblings who'd react well to that. His brothers hated him and sold him as a slave. Joseph had done the right thing. He'd been obedient to God and his father, but it cost him his home and his inheritance. He was honourable, lived an upright life, but he was slandered. And as we move forward 11 years, we'll have the story of him being a young adult slave at the age of 28, working in the home of the high official in the Egyptian court named Potiphar. Again, you will read there, he honoured the Lord and worked hard and served Potiphar with integrity. Again, the scripture says, the Lord was with Joseph and blessed everything he oversaw. Potiphar noticed this and promoted him to the highest position in his household. Up on the pinnacle, then he's brought down by Potiphar's wife, who made it her goal to seduce Joseph. But Joseph chose to obey the Lord. He jerked free of her grip so quickly that he left his outer tunic in her hands as he ran out of the house to get away from the temptation. Of course, she relayed the incident to the men in the house and to Potiphar, who got angry, and Joseph landed in the prison. Again, Joseph did the right thing. He should have been rewarded for not giving in to the temptation. He was innocent, but it was the innocent one who got punished. And for the second time in his life, by following the Lord's will, he got a raw deal. He was used of God, but he was forgotten. Genesis 39 closes by telling us that God was in the prison with Joseph, and the prison keeper put Joseph in charge of the other prisoners because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. But then in chapter 40, we had read to us, the two of Pharaoh's officers end up in prison and they're assigned to Joseph, and they had the dreams, as was read to us. Joseph made one request, only remember me. When things are going well for you two guys, just remember me and return the favour. Mention me to Pharaoh so that I can get out of prison. Both dreams came true, and the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him, and so time dragged on. I wonder if you've ever been misunderstood. You've lived a good life, and yet all that comes is disappointment and loss and suffering and hate. That's probably how Joseph was feeling right there in that story. How did Joseph endure this without losing his faith in God? How did he avoid thinking that God was messing him around, raising his hopes only to crush them? How did Joseph keep from becoming a bitter, vengeful, angry man as he faced the prospect of dying alone in a dungeon in a foreign country? Well, when it all goes wrong, a strong faith matters. Faith that believes and knows that God reigns over every detail of your life, from the smallest thing to the largest thing. The scripture tells us, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. God's enabling grace is always sufficient. We just had it in that song there a little while ago. He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. And when we've exhausted our store of endurance, when we feel like we can't go on any further, he only then starts to give and give and give to help us get through the situation. When it all goes wrong, remember, God's in control. And we read in Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And God gave me this word as I prayed this morning. Maybe it's for someone here. When it all goes wrong, see yourself not as a victim, but a victor. Don't see yourself as a victim, but as a victor, because with God and God's grace and trust in God, you'll get through it. So, what do we do when things go wrong? Four things that might help you. First of all, remember the promises of God. When dark days and dreary nights come into your life, when everything is going wrong, instead of sinking down into the pit, stand on the promises. We sang it this morning. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Get the Bible out and start reading the promises of God when you're down in the pit. When the howling storms of doubt and fear come, by the living word of God, the Bible, God's word, his promises will get you through it. Just remember the promises of God. He says promises like this, I'm with you, I will strengthen you, I will protect you, I love you, my grace is all you need. Remember the promises of God. Secondly, rely on the providence of God. Joseph was thrown into the pit in the early part of his life and forsaken by his family because his brothers were very jealous of him. Today we looked at him being thrown into the prison and forgotten by one of his friends. Thrown into the prison because Potiphar's wife could not make him do wrong, but the cupbearer forgot him. Joseph lost his freedom because he would not compromise his purity or corrupt his integrity or cast away his dignity. He was not punished or suffering for doing wrong. He was suffering for doing right. And sometimes that's hard to accept when you're suffering for doing something that's right. But what does the Bible say? There's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve, but if you're treated badly for good behaviour and continue in it in spite of it to be a good servant, that's what counts with God. We often say, why does that happen to good people? It's all part of God's plan. He has another plan to make us more like him. The hardest things in life to stand are the things you don't understand. And there's many things we don't understand. Life does not always make sense. Why does a young friend of ours, 48 years of age, a beautiful young man, husband, father to three kids, suddenly find he's got a massive tumour on the brain? You can't understand it. But his wife said at his funeral, I know why it is, because man disobeyed God back there in the garden. And he's been disobeying God ever since. Yeah, life doesn't make sense. But remember, just because things don't make sense to you and me doesn't mean they don't make sense to God. Because everything that happens to you and me does make sense to him. What is hidden from us is not hidden from God. There are going to be times that faith is going to have to trust without seeing, because God knows what he's doing. And God never comes too late. When you're in the pit or the prison or the paddock or the palace, wherever we are, God always comes and provides all we need to cope. Then what about resting in the presence of God? We don't always feel like doing that when we're in the pit, do we? When things are going wrong. But look at this. Joseph was guarded by the presence of God. There it is, straight from the Bible. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. All we have to do is allow God's presence to be with us and to rest in it. Whether he was in the pit or the prison, God had not forgotten or forsaken him. The whole time, through all his bad times, God was with him. Where is God when it all goes wrong? He's there. Just as he was for Joseph, he'll be there for us. Here's another great promise, one of my favourites. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Are you hearing it? When you're going through deep waters, troubled times, when things are going wrong, I will be with you, says God. I will be with you. Take hold of that. Deep waters, rivers of difficulty, walking through the fire. You won't be burned because I am with you. We need to live so close to God that we sense his presence in every situation, the good times and the bad times. He's always there. And the fourth thing is respond with the patience of God. Sometimes when things go wrong, it brings out the worst in people, doesn't it? Brings out the worst in us. But in all that happened to Joseph, he never got bitter, never held a grudge, he never took revenge or shook his fist in the face of God. Which says to me, when everything goes wrong, we need to really watch our reactions, particularly Christians, because those who are not Christians are watching to see how we cope when everything goes wrong. Joseph kept loving God and living for God. He was saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to do right, I'm going to be right, and I'm going to live right. That's true commitment. And true commitment is not conditional upon everything going right all the time. Doesn't matter if things do go pear-shaped, we still do right, be right, and live right. Where is God when it all goes wrong? Three children were killed on the side of a road because a driver of a car was three times over the limit and mounted the curb. At the site, the mother faced reporters and told them, "I don't hate the driver." Forgiveness and grace were offered. She added, her faith in the Bible has helped her family cope. Danny and I were so blessed to have six kids. We love our kids so much. We tried to focus on their spiritual side more than anything. We tried to teach them to pray the rosary, to read the Bible, and to share God's faith, she said. And a Christian reporter said of this, "Is this not what Christianity is supposed to look like in times of tragedy? Forgiveness and grace were offered." This week I read, the husband Danny said, I'm hearing stories of God moving in the midst of tragedy. People are coming back to the Lord. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. That's where God is when everything goes wrong. And one of the staff at the childcare centre where one of the children attended is an atheist and has begun to explore Christ in the aftermath of that tragedy. Where is God when everything goes wrong? He's here, there, watching over his own. When everything goes wrong, he will work it out for his glory and for our good. Where is God when we hurt, when we can't sleep, when we endure pain that won't go away? God's right there, as he was for Joseph. When you hurt, God hurts too. When no one listens to you, God listens. When you weep tears of loneliness or frustration or anguish, remember, God wants to wipe away those tears. And it's also good to remember that sometimes the storms of life come to teach us that God's in control and we must lean on him. After all Joseph suffered, he gave his, what I'll call his testimony at the end in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "You meant to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." There is a purpose for all that happens, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. But we have someone who is always there. For the joys and for the sorrows, for the best and the worst of times, when fears crowd around, when your plans all fail, when your dreams are dashed, when your tears flow in secret, in the broken times, when your mind is troubled and you have disappointments, or you're living with regrets, when you're weak in your body and you're burdened down, you have nights of doubt and worry. For all of this, you have Jesus. And he's always there. What a faithful God we have. Always available, always there to help, always there to hear, always to give courage, and always to give strength. So where is God when things go wrong for you? I want you to think about that question as we listen now to a song simply called, "For This I Have Jesus." For every situation in life, for everything that happens, the good and the bad, I have Jesus. And I simply want to say, do you? And if you don't, then you're going to find the tough times are pretty tough. Because they still can be tough even when we know God. But when we know God, we've got him there to help us. So as we watch this clip and follow the words on the screen, our prayer place here is an amazing place where we can come and meet with Jesus and rest in his presence. And if there's something that's really not going too good for you today, where's God? He's here. He'll meet you here at the place of prayer. I invite you to come stand, kneel, sit, and pray. Someone will pray with you if you want that. But remember, for all the experiences in your life, you can have Jesus, but it requires us trusting him, resting in his promises, being obedient, relying on him to get us through. The prayer place is available for you to use this morning if you'd like to do that as we listen to the song.
For the joys and for the sorrows, the best and worst of times, for this moment, for tomorrow, for all that lies behind. Fears that crowd around me, for the failure of my plans, for the dreams of all I hope to be, the truth of what I am. For this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus, for this I have Jesus.
Through a really tough time at the moment, and you need to lay that before God this morning and seek strength, seek guidance, seek help. Don't miss out. There may be someone here who needs to accept Jesus as their Saviour and Lord today. Perhaps you've never trusted in him and asked for forgiveness of sins before. Then you're on the way to knowing Jesus, knowing God, to be able to help you face your life when things go wrong.
Thank you for listening today. It is our prayer that the message has been helpful to you. Our services is at 10 o'clock on Sunday at Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. God bless.